Hello and welcome to the Cinema Clash. I am Charlie Jewell of charliejewell.com.
And I'm Hannah Buchdahl of chickflix.net.
Hannah, I got the wine tonight, and it does have a tie-in to the film, but now I see you have some little surprise planned. So before I see your surprise drink, let me see if you can figure out tonight's wine.
It is called Prophecy, and it is a Pinot Noir out of California. Gosh, I guess is it supposed to be some sort of clown?
Yeah, the best I could do for clown was jester, I guess. But prophecy, meaning, you know, comes every 27 years to terrorize Derry, Maine.
That's a little lame.
It is. I tried hard, and so jester's kind of a clown, prophecy, yeah.
I did one better. So here you Whoa. Have.
What is that?
It is a not your father's root beer float.
How did you package that up?
I know. They're these little, these cool wine tumblers. So
I don't understand the tie-in. You might have explained the tie-in. Not your father's.
It's a hard root beer, so it's called Not Your Father's Root Beer.
Oh, so like a hard R movie?
It is a root beer float.
Oh, I get it.
There is.
Yeah. How do I open this?
You just pull off the top there carefully.
So what did you do? You actually made a.
I actually made a root beer float.
That's funny.
Isn't it?
Like the tie-in's about as reaching as mine. But
oh, come on.
I love that you made it right here. Cheers.
It floats.
That's awesome.
You'll float too.
I get it. You'll float too. We are both alluding to the new Hollywood. Blockbuster. It will be. It's going to win the weekend. Of It, one of Stephen King's most popular novels, It. And what he says is one of his most personal novels. And if that's true, I feel bad for him because these kids do not have idyllic childhoods. The original It from 1990 was a television miniseries on cable, and it has still a strong following. People, Pennywise, the evil gutter clown, the evil clown who kills and maims and eats children, is very recognizable. You just know what he looks like if you follow horror. It was played by Tim Curry. I don't know if you ever saw that. I saw that. And how do you compare what we just saw the other night of Pennywise?
I never saw the TV movie. I remember people talking about Tim Curry as this weird clown character.
Man, this is good.
Isn't that tasty? Anyway, and I never read the book. So I truly went into this without much preconceived notion of what I was going to see and with really very little information about
and you don't like
the
horror.
Story. And I generally do not like horror movies, but it's Stephen King. And so generally, in terms of somebody who can do horror for the masses, you know, I kind of trust Stephen King. And
you just saw one of his like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and The Dark Tower a few weeks ago, which got tremendously panned, but I actually did not hate. Mm-hmm. And so all I knew is I kept seeing these references to the red balloons, and I kept saying the line, "You'll float too."
And the little yellow rain slicker.
And the little yellow rain slicker, and I had no idea what any of it meant. And now, having seen the movie, I feel like so in with pop culture now. And
it's all over Twitter, it's all over Facebook, and you know what it all means.
And yes, and it is worth seeing.
Bill Skarsgård. He plays Pennywise, the new It. The name should sound familiar. He is Stellan Skarsgård's son. He's Alexander Skarsgård's brother. Another Skarsgård.
Another good family.
A pirate's favorite actor, Skarsgård. That was that old Saturday Night Live thing.
Okay.
I love the time and place of this. The 1990 version, the novel, takes place in the late 50s. Part one, at least, because this is part one. This takes place in the late 80s. We've got the soundtrack to prove it. We've got the bad guys riding in a Trans Am, which is just such a bad guy vehicle. New Kids on the Block jokes, fanny pack references. Love me a time. So even though kids are getting maimed and murdered and torn in half, don't you just love 1989, Hannah?
I do. It's such a nostalgic trip. I like seeing the movie marquees of what was playing back then. And I think that's the best thing about it that makes it work for someone like me is that there are those moments where you can have a little bit of fun with this movie even in the midst of sheer terror.
I don't get scared at horror movies. I really don't. I'm kind of jaded that way. But there are terrifying moments in this film, and there's vibes from other Stephen King's. There's the Stand By Me vibe. You got just the kids kind of on a quest. There's a Stranger Things vibe where the kids of the town have to come together to solve the mystery. And notice, like a lot of Stephen King things, the adults are, when they're on screen, which is very little, they're actually kind of a problem. This is a kid thing. When anything happens, something bad, the kid's first act isn't to tell an adult, not even the cops. It's to, like, keep it hidden, keep it hushed, keep it amongst the kids. Yeah. And, you know, I good on them. I like that.
Yeah, it has definitely a Stand By Me kind of vibe going. And I was trying to explain to people why, if they like Stand By Me and were not really horror movie fans, they might actually be okay with this. I disagreed with you in terms of whether it was a hard R. I did not feel that it is. I think anyone, really, I guess 14, 15 and up would be absolutely fine with this movie.
I think adults, especially parents of younger children, will be more scared by this than teenagers. Yes. And I'm glad director Andy Muschietti, that's how Stephen King pronounces him, Andy Muschietti, he did Mama back in 2013, another kind of terrifying film starring Jessica Chastain. I really liked it. So this is his second big feature film after Mama. I'm glad I believe it's hard R. The kids, and 11 and 12-year-olds in real life, they swear. They don't swear on movie screens. They never use the F word, rarely. But they do here, and it's about every other sentence, and it works. So I'm glad he did that. And I think the violence is hard R. There are literal baths of blood.
But they're quick. They're not as persistent and overt.
And the clown and his graphic rows of teeth and what he does to the little yellow rain slicker kid.
I guess I have become a little jaded.
I'm like, how would you not think this is a hard R film?
I just still think a 15-year-old who likes horror movies, to me this is easier to take than a Saw or the Halloween movies. Like, those don't appeal to me at all.
Really? I think those are much easier.
Yeah, I don't know. I also really like the cast of this, and I like the kids.
Those kids are good.
They're all really they're fun to watch. They're interesting. They are the main kid is I slaughter his name.
Something Lieberher.
Jaden Lieberher, who has just been.
We've seen him in a lot of stuff. Yeah.
He's been in a lot of really good stuff lately with really heavy hitters. He was in St. Vincent with Bill Murray. He was in The Confirmation with Clive Owen.
I think only us two saw that.
I know, but it was good. He was in The Book of Henry, which, you know, wasn't. He was good in it, even though the movie itself was not the best. And in Midnight Special with
in Midnight Special. That's a good movie.
Michael Shannon, and I mean, really good people that he's been surrounding himself by, and so he was a good choice, I think, to be sort of the leader of this pack of losers that that kind of gets his buddies and a girl together to try and defeat Pennywise the clown.
Did you notice that? So that a girl gets introduced to the group, and these are young preteen boys. They know what girls are, but they're not quite sure how to talk to them or how to interact around them. And they seem just as scared of the girl as they do of the murdering clown. And so I love
there's
that.
There's a little bit of a love triangle going on there. It's a coming-of-age movie, too, you know, with you have this girl, Sophia, played by Sophia Lillis, and she plays Beverly Marsh, and she's the only girl in this group of outcasts. And I can see, you talked about Jessica Chastain earlier, and I read how if they were to cast an adult version of the Beverly Marsh character, which they very likely will.
Chapter 2.
She chooses Jessica Chastain would be her ideal to play her.
That's all right. That'd be a fine pick. I could totally see that.
So they were, and one of the kids was actually from Stranger Things. So
yeah, Richie, the foul mouth guy.
Yeah.
Who does not curse and is totally kind of pure in Stranger Things. And here he's like, F this, F that, now I gotta kill that effing clown. Yeah. And he's the comic relief kid.
Yeah, there's definite comic relief in here, which is so needed. I was talking to somebody who read the book, and they were asking about how the movie does in terms of interweaving these two stories of this cast of characters as kids and then 27 years later as adults. And so I was trying to warn them that the ones who have read the book, that this movie was designed, as Hollywood is prone to do, as a two-parter. Mm. And so this is very much part one, and we are only really witnessing what was happening with the kids in their adolescent stage, and them coming back as adults is sort of left for a future film for chapter two.
And it's not greenlit yet. This movie has to make money. for that day. And I think it will.
It will.
This is going to sweep the box. I mean, there's been nothing in theaters the last 2 weeks. This is going to kill it.
Yes.
Yeah, I really like this one. This is better than like any recent horror genre films like The Conjuring series or Wish Upon.
Oh, well, I mean, Wish Upon, come on. Yes, it's better than Wish Upon. The Conjuring and The Conjuring 2, I still really liked. Those, to me, are the more mainstream accessible kind of horror movies. And this one kind of falls in that bucket. So I definitely would recommend it to anybody who's okay with that sort of psychological thriller drama that's kind of heavy on the scare tactics. And there is some frightening stuff in there. Yeah. And but it's also an interesting balance of a little bit of humor and sarcasm. And so in the midst of trying to solve how this clown is going about murdering all these kids, the film does a good job of just making it accessible.
And even though it's only chapter one, it's 135 minutes long.
Yes.
But it only feels like 119. So it's like, it didn't really feel like 135 minutes, even though it's a pretty long movie. All right, our next film is, oh man, I was worried when I saw the title and who was in it. Starring Reese Witherspoon. It's called Home Again. And you knew what I was thinking, because I thought, oh my God, this could be a sequel to my most hated film ever, Sweet Home Alabama.
Which I still don't understand how that could possibly be your
But they're very similar.
Ever.
Not only do they have home in the title and Candace Bergen, she goes home again. It's what Reese Witherspoon does. She's somewhere else, but she has to come home to, I don't know, recalibrate her life or something. And this time, she comes back to L.A., and thank goodness she didn't have any money problems, because she has two girls and no job. And I'm about to throw it over to you, but I wanted to get your take on this. So the director's mother, who produced the film, Nancy Myers, very famous lady, who did the Parent Trap remake, The Intern, It's Complicated, Something's Gotta Give, you know the genre. She's been called the queen of interior design porn. Look inside the house. Did you the breakfast table, the dinner table, all the pillows and the couches and the beds? And I could see it. So it rubbed off on her daughter. Talk about nepotism, Hallie Myers Shire.
Well, she wrote it too, though. Give the woman a little bit of credit.
She's 30.
Yes, but she is. She's Nancy Myers' daughter, and she obviously picked up on the formula. This has the look and feel from the opening sequence of a typical light and fluffy Nancy Myers movie. The thing that made it less than a Nancy Myers movie is there are no stakes. The stakes are very low throughout this entire movie, and so that's why it doesn't break through to, you know, I saw some ad that said it was instant classic. I'm like,
No, it's stealing from all the other classics.
It is. It's stealing from all the other classics, but it's totally enjoyable in the moment. So it's light and fluffy, and for anyone who doesn't feel like watching a clown terrorizing kids for 2.5 hours, this is 95 minutes.
Let Reese Witherspoon terrorize you.
She's so likable. Come on, people liked her, you know, in Legally Blonde, and I mean, she's an Oscar winner.
She did The Bend and Snap.
She did Walk the Line. She did Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah, she
and,
did.
It's fluff, but that's okay. It just is.
It's you're right. It's as deep as fluff. So the Shires part of Hallie Myers Shires, Charles Shires, that's her father, Nancy's ex-husband, who did a movie I saw the other week, Father of the Bride.
Right.
So she's got the pedigree.
She has
the pedigree. She went to 1 year of film school, and she got a very big job here, I'm sure, completely by merit.
Yes. No, sure.
Did you notice the montages?
Yeah.
They're about four or five, always around a dinner table, talking and laughing montage. And I just kept counting the movies that she stole from. This could be called Three Almost Men and a Lady. So there's a lot of Three Men and a Baby in here. There's What Women Want.
Yeah.
Did you know it? And I picked up an anti-feminist vibe. It takes three men to fix Alice. She has to be fixed. They fix her.
I don't think
they
fix her.
Move in. These three 20-something millennials move into the 40-year-old's house, her guest house, get along with her kids. They form a family unit, and they fix her.
She fixes them as much as they're fixing her. So I think you're missing that there is a cross-pollination of fixing going on here.
They're filmmaker wannabes. She has nothing to do with their film. She didn't fix them.
No, but she basically taught them how to be more responsible and to they learn a lot from the experiences that they gain with her and her two precocious cute little kids. And so I think it goes both ways. So I don't think it was so much a feminist vibe. And these three guys are just so adorable. They really are. I mean, they really reminded me of the Entourage guys. It's kind of like, okay, this one is Vince, and this one's Turtle, and this one's Eric. And so one's the writer, one's the actor, and the other one is just sort of the smooth-talking producer of the bunch.
No, I agree. Kevin Connolly would have played George, the writer. He's played by John Rudnitsky. He was on Saturday Night Live for like a season and a half. And Adrian Grenier would have played Teddy, the actor. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have even had to audition. It just would have been. It's once again, you just pointed out another thing that made you think of something else.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not arguing with that. It absolutely, it's Three's Company, the sitcom, sort of a spin on that with a couple of kids thrown into the mix. Candace Bergen, it was, you know, she's sort of always a very similar kind of character. She's a little more likable in this one than she often is in her other roles. In Sweet Home Alabama, she played the Reese Witherspoon's character's mother-in-law nemesis. In this one, her mother is very hip and is encouraging Alice to let the boys live in the guest house.
Well, she's Jenna Rollins, is really what it is. Her father was a 70s filmmaker, John Cassavetes, because he made those type of gonzo films or micro-budget films that made it big, like Cannes. And John Cassavetes' wife, Jenna Rollins, is just like Candace Bergen here. Mm-hmm. So there's a little 70s vibe.
Yeah, and so I will forget about this movie within a month, easily, but I liked it while I was watching it. The people around me seemed to be entertained. Mm-hmm. It's a chick flick.
You going to defend the climax?
No.
Not at all?
I wish I could, except that I feel like I've talked about seeing a scene 100 times. We just saw it in Done Better in the Channing Tatum movie.
Gifted?
No, the one with Logan Lucky, at the end where he needs to get
But he didn't go backstage.
He needs to get back to town in time to see his kid perform in the school talent show. About a boy. I love the Hugh Grant character coming to the aid of the kid at the end of,
this climax is terrible.
This one is a lame version.
How do I get backstage?
Of what you've seen in every time. It's like, you know, my talent show is at 8 o'clock on Friday night. We'll be there. Don't worry. And then you know that something's going to happen that puts that in jeopardy. There's nothing new here.
No. So why are you so for this? There's nothing here.
I'm not for it. I'm not against it. I just know that my friend Jennifer, who was there, enjoyed it.
I'm going to guess Jennifer sees 6 movies a year.
But she likes a chick flick.
Therefore, she's going to like those 6 movies because that's all she gets to see.
But that's okay because she is one of those ones who had absolutely no interest in seeing it. And no matter what I would say about how good it may be, she was not going to see it. And I think there are quite a few people in that boat who absolutely, if they're only going to see a certain number of movies, they want to go see what they consider to be cinematic comfort food.
Then you tell them to go see The Big Sick.
She saw The Big Sick. No, and so The Big Sick is, The Big Sick is not your traditional chick flick in the sense that some people are just going to be happy to go and see, you know, a Nicholas Sparks type of movie and a Nancy Myers type of movie. Mm-hmm. And so this just fits that bill. It is not a classic in the making at all, but it is a retread of perfectly entertaining, fluffy films. And, you don't hate anyone in this movie.
You just hate the movie.
No, you don't hate the movie. Come on, you didn't hate the movie.
I certainly didn't like it.
How can you hate it?
No, there are moments, there are things I liked about it. I liked how the three guys integrated in with the family. That worked.
Yeah.
Everything else, that whole side theme with Lake Bell,
yeah, that was terrible. Useless. No, that was useless. There are some subplots that we could have easily done without. And again, I would have loved to see higher stakes. You have what was supposed to be considered, I guess, the high stakes of this film and the critical plot turn is when Alice's estranged husband shows up to kind of reclaim his family and boot the guys from the guest house. And so I think that's supposed to be when you're suddenly supposed to be like, oh my gosh, you know, upsetting the apple cart. And that guy's played by Michael Sheen, who, you know, people remember from...
he's Frost Nixon.
He plays, like, Tony Blair and everything, too, and Frost Nixon. And so he's a very good actor, and it's kind of a very superficial kind of role for him, but I think he probably enjoyed playing it for a change of pace. He plays, like, this music producer guy who's living in New York and wants to... move to LA and be with his family all of a sudden.
Meh.
And it's like, all right, are we really supposed to buy that he suddenly had this huge character shift and realizes what he's, in danger of losing? And it's not so much that it's completely predictable. I wasn't really sure exactly which way it would go, who she might end up with. I didn't care all that much either. because you don't feel any real strong feelings for any of the characters, you just like them all, that kind of takes away from any real dramatic effect.
No, this movie's missing.
It'll be great on an airplane in a few months. People will rent it. It'll be on TBS and TNT in that rotation between all your next to Sweet Home Alabama. It'll be a double billing for you, Charlie.
Oh, golly. All right, our final film, I think I'm the only one who saw it, Viceroy's House, and it's by a director we do know, Gurinder Chadha. She did Bend It Like Beckham way back in 2002.
I loved Bend It Like Beckham.
And she did Bride and Prejudice way back in 2004. But now she shifted gears. This is not a comedy. This is not a... It's still cross-cultural and cultural prejudice because it's back in 1947, India, when the British are in the process of handing India back to the Indians. Gandhi shows up. Lord Mountbatten is played by Hugh Bonneville. So there's a lot of Downton Abbey critiques. People are like, oh, this is Downton Abbey in India. I don't know. I've never seen Downton Abbey. And Mrs. Lord Mountbatten, Lady Mountbatten, is played by Gillian Anderson, who I actually didn't notice was Gillian Anderson until I saw the credits. So good on her for blending
X-Files,
in.
X-Files, Gillian.
So, and she was very, very good, by the way. And so yeah, it's a history lesson. At the same time, the British are handing back India. The Hindus and the Muslims start killing each other. And that's how Pakistan was born. And so the biggest mass migration in history of Hindus moving back to India from Pakistan, Muslims moving from India to Pakistan is sometimes a hard watch. They have these fake news reels, but they get kind of graphic. But it's a political, on one hand, it's a political story. You're saying Hugh Bonneville, negotiate. Now, on the other hand, there's like a star-crossed lover thing, Romeo and Juliet. You got the Hindu in love with the Muslim. Oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to get through this? Not a terrible movie. By far not a terrible movie. It's watchable. I know it sounds dry. Yes, I really wasn't looking. I was not looking forward to this. It was late at night. The first football game of the season was on in the background. Maybe I kind of want to watch that. But no, I was absorbed. It's only 105 minutes. It wasn't that bad. New Bonneville's good to watch. The Viceroy's House. Good Lord. Talk about interior design porn. That, so one of the characters says, it makes Buckingham Palace look like a bungalow. And it does. Good Lord. There's a house and a half there. And I don't know why she did this movie until the closing words right before the credits. Then there's a personal connection. Then they say what it is. And they're like, oh, wow. I can see why you made this film.
Oh, great. So it takes the whole...
and I've never seen the story. Like, I knew India became India in 1947. I knew that. And the British used to divide the population. They actually kind of are at fault. They pitted the Hindus against the Muslims so no one would unify and rise up against their colonialism. I get it. So, okay, decent film. Not going to write home about it. Not going to love it. But I certainly don't hate it. So it's for anyone who doesn't want to see a child-murdering clown and Reese Witherspoon. They're like, all right, I need something intellectual.
Of course, it definitely looked like a more intellectual option. My colleague Artie Chick had actually already reviewed it for chickflix.net, which is why I just didn't bother seeing it, because I read her review, I read the synopsis of this movie, and I thought to myself, I just know it's just not my thing. I've never watched Downton Abbey. So while I completely can appreciate those who do like a good British flick and, you know, watch Masterpiece Theater and watch Downton Abbey.
It is like Masterpiece Theater, yeah.
Then, you know, then sure, I think it's probably a good thing for them to seek out. But I could tell that it just wasn't my kind of movie. And just as I was explaining why somebody would go see Home Again as opposed to It, there's a whole other subset of people that Viceroy's House could very well appeal to.
All right, well, wrapping up, Cinema Clash, our main outlet, one of our first outlet, and still one of our main outlets, is RadioSaintPete.com, a local, hometown, hyper-local, online internet radio station that services St. Petersburg, Florida. And this weekend, they are awaiting Hurricane Irma, so maybe Cinema Clash will air this weekend, or maybe not, and you'll just catch it online. But we are wishing them the best of luck for what's coming their way.
Absolutely, because you know what, in the end, movies are just entertainment, and there are much more high priority things sometimes in play. And so first things first is staying safe, and hopefully they'll all make it through, and they'll be listening next weekend.
All right. Well, to wrap up, I think we both really liked It, even the girl who does not like horror films, and I do not like remakes. I think this is the best horror film of the year so far, hands down. It's certainly the scariest.
Yeah.
Home Again. Ugh, why does Reese Witherspoon keep having to come home? Go somewhere else.
I like Reese. She's cute.
That's why Wild was good. She got on the Pacific Crest Trail.
I didn't love Wild. I like, yeah. So
she went somewhere instead of home.
Home is where the heart is. I'll take it.
Viceroy's House, for those who can't stomach the first two.
There you go.
Masterpiece Theater Fair, actually, for the Masterpiece Theater fan. All right, thank you for listening to Cinema Clash. I'm Charlie Jewell.
I'm Hannah Buchdahl.
Thank you.
Take care.